Bless you, Sister Treva. I'd like to... Amen. Amen. I'd like to call your attention to the reading of some scripture found in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. If you would care to read with me, please turn to John chapter 4 and going to begin reading with verse 1. I've thought about this when the Lord put these scriptures on my mind. I thought, well, you know, during the time that I've been pastor at Fairview Memorial, I've used these scriptures before. And if I'm allowed to continue to pastor, then I'll probably use them again. But I'm glad that we never wear out the Word of God, that it's always... you know, it's always new to us. And so let's look at John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I want you to listen as I read the last verse that I'm going to read, verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And the thought that I want to share with you today that the Lord has given to me, and the title that I'd like to use today will simply be Natural and Spiritual. That was the lesson that the Lord was teaching here to the woman of Samaria there at Jacob's well. And the Lord in his ministry, we read so many times in so many different ways that he taught this lesson of natural and spiritual. Here, he used water to make the point. And there were other allegories that he used, and I want to speak about some of them. But the Lord Jesus, from time to time, from place to place, with different people, taught this lesson of the contrast between that which is natural and that which is spiritual. And I want to say in the beginning of this, that as Jesus would always point out, that which is spiritual is much greater or much more important than that which is natural. And, you know, I believe that sometimes, and I hope I came here today with a prayer on my heart for those who are lost, that God will bring you to the understanding today that that which is spiritual is much more important than what is natural. But I'm afraid that sometimes, even as the people of God, that we lose sight of that concept. You know, the things of God, we as Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, you know, in the service of the Lord, the things that we undertake to do in the service of God are much more important than the things that we undertake to do from a natural standpoint in our lives from day to day. You know, no matter what it is that you may do, no matter what your occupation is, no matter what your secular work may be, the work of God supersedes that. The work of God is more important than any work that is done in this world. Those things which are spiritual are more important than things which are natural. And so here we have Jesus about midday. As he passes through Samaria there, where they were not, the people there were not accustomed to seeing the Jews come through there. But as he passes through there, you know, he stops there being tired and being weary on his journey. Remember, the Lord Jesus was a man, and as he traveled, he would get a natural thirst, just like anybody else. So he stops here at this well, and here comes this woman to the well to draw water, and the Lord Jesus strikes up this conversation with her, and he asks her to give him a drink. Now, you know, Jesus was asking her for a drink of that natural water that was in the well there. And so he asked her to give him a drink. And then he tells her that if she knew the gift of God, and if she knew who it was that was talking to her, that she would have asked him for a drink of water. Now, at that point of the conversation, Jesus was talking about a different kind of water. You know, when he asked for a drink, he was asking for a drink of natural water. When he began to tell the woman, if you knew the gift of God and you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would have asked for a drink of water. He was talking about that which is spiritual. And so, you know, but there was, I believe that we can see in this, that this woman, at the beginning anyway, she didn't understand what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. And when he said that you would have asked of me and I would have given you a drink of living water, because her response was, well, you don't have anything to draw with. This well is deep and you don't have anything to draw with. And so how, you know, are you going to give me this drink of water? But Jesus wasn't talking about, when he was talking about that living water, he wasn't talking about that cold water that was down there in that well. He was talking about that which is spiritual. And we really, we see the same thing happening, and you find recorded in the previous chapter, in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. We see the same thing really happening with the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. You know, he told Nicodemus, this Pharisee, this ruler of the Jews, this religious man, Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Well, you know, he didn't understand what the Lord was talking about. His question was, well, how can that be? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And, you know, Jesus, when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, that's not what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about repeating the natural birth. He was talking about being born from above, born of the Spirit, born of God. And so Nicodemus asked the question. And of course, I think today, when you and I think about that, I mean, we may look at that and we may say, well, that seems like what we may classify as a silly question. I mean, surely to goodness, reasonable people understand that once that we are born into the world, that once we come forth from the womb, that we can't go back to the womb and be born again. And you know, you may not have that, you may not have the same misunderstanding that Nicodemus had there that day, but let me tell you, any misunderstanding about being born again is bad. I mean, we need to understand what the Lord was talking about. And so Jesus went ahead and he told Nicodemus, he explained to Nicodemus and let him know that that's not what he was talking about. And he did that by saying, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, when we were born of the flesh, all of us that were born of the flesh, we were born of the flesh and we were born flesh, and that's what we are. And that which is born of the flesh won't ever be anything but flesh. That's what it will be. And the Bible teaches us that that flesh is going to return to the dust from where it was taken, but the Spirit unto God who gave it. And so that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Listen, you know, I'm afraid that the problem that many people have in the world today, that many people have in the religious world today, and the reason that so many people are being deceived by the religious world around us today is that you have people that have not had a spiritual change. Their heart has not been changed. They don't know the Spirit of God. They don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in their heart. And they're trying to understand the Word of God. And if you look in 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 1, verse 14, the Apostle Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, that they are foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. And I'll tell you what, folks, I'm convinced today, I'm as convinced as I've always been, that in order to understand this great book, in order to understand the Word of God, these things that we have here, these are spiritual writings, and we need spiritual guidance in order to be able to understand them. They can only be understood with the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind. And only then, when we, in order to understand these things, we read the Word of God and we meditate the Word of God on the Word of God, and we need to pray that God will open our dull understanding and illuminate God, His Word before us, that we might really understand what's being said. And I thank God for the time in my life when God, through the working of His Holy Spirit, brought me to the realization of what I was being told about being born again by the Spirit of God. Don't you thank God for that today? So Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, no, that's not what I mean. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being born again of the flesh. I'm talking about being born again of the Spirit. And I want to say this to you that are here today. If you are here and you're lost and you're separated from God this morning, I hope you came to this service today with a great spiritual thirst. I hope that you're hungry today. I hope that you're thirsty today, because Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, there He pronounced a great blessing upon those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you know what that blessing is? They shall be filled. And listen, you know, you're never going to come to the Lord Jesus. You're never going to do what this woman, this Samaritan woman did that day when she said to Jesus, give me this water. You're not going to ask for that without that thirst, without that spiritual thirst. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, the Lord, in the sixth chapter of John, He did the same thing that He taught the same thing that He taught to this woman at the well with the use of water. He did the same thing with the use of bread. Jesus taught the exact same lesson with the allegory being the manna that came down from heaven. He reminded them of what had happened in their history. He reminded them of what had happened among their forefathers, how that out there in the wilderness, there on the Exodus, that God had rained bread down from heaven. He rained manna down from heaven and provided them with a natural sustenance. They could go out and they could gather this manna and they could take that and they could have that to eat throughout the week. And the Lord Jesus in the sixth chapter of John was talking about that, and He reminded them of the fact that their fathers that had eaten that bread in the wilderness were dead. It didn't last them forever, did it, Brother Wheat? It did not sustain them forever. It helped them for the time being. Jesus said they ate this manna and they're dead. But He said, I am the true bread which came down from heaven. I am that bread that a man can eat and live forever. And that's the exact same thing that He was saying to the woman there at the well concerning the water. If you drink the water from this well, you are going to get thirsty again. Anybody. I'll tell you what, there is nothing that you can do in the flesh that will satisfy the Spirit. Nothing. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now there are many people in the world today. We read about them. Jesus gave us many examples in the Bible. There are many people in the world today. They are trying to satisfy their whole being by what they do in the body, by what they do in the flesh. They are trying to satisfy their whole being with the things of this world. We read about, again, that man there in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. The ground of this rich man brought forth plentifully, and he was laying his goods in store. He was taking his harvest, and he was laying it in store. And when his barns became too small to hold all of his increase, he said, I'll just tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger barns, and then I'll lay my goods up, and I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. And he was basing, his happiness upon the things of this world, upon all he was looking at were those things which were natural. He thought that he could satisfy his whole being with those goods that he had laid up for many years. But listen, the Bible teaches me that it is the Lord that satisfies the longing soul. You know, when I was lost, there was something that I needed that nothing natural could provide. It just couldn't provide. There was nothing. There wasn't enough money. There wasn't enough treasure. There wasn't enough food. There wasn't enough water. There wasn't enough of anything, to satisfy the desire that I had down in my soul. And there was nothing that was strong enough to drive away the fear that I had in my soul. The only one that could satisfy my hungry, thirsty, longing soul was the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, listen, I want to promise you today, if you're here and you're lost, you've got that void down inside. You know that something's empty. I remember what that was like. I know exactly what that was like, to feel that emptiness inside, to feel that vanity inside, to know, listen, I spent, several years during my young life knowing that there was something that was missing, knowing that there was a void there, knowing that something just wasn't quite right, knowing that there was a way in which I was not satisfied, and it didn't seem to make any difference what I did. It didn't seem to make any difference how much I involved myself in sports or in school or whatever that it was. There was nothing that satisfied that which was missing down inside of me until that night that the Lord gave me a drink of living water. Living water. Now, I don't know how much that we stop and think about it, because, you know, it's just like everything else. We take so much for granted. We do. I mean, we just, you know, we don't think when we go to our sink and turn the faucet on, or to our, you know, now we even got refrigerators that you can just stick the cup under there, get you a cup of cold water. We don't have to draw it up from a well anymore, like what we're reading about here. And I don't think that we think very much about water. You know, we just take it for granted. I'm thirsty, I'll go get me a drink of water. You know, if you want natural water, if that's all that you're after today is natural water, I believe that Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, at their building, at the place where we meet, we got a water fountain out there that, as far as I'm concerned, that's the best water in Bowling Green. I drink it every Sunday. Every Sunday I come in here, or every service, as far as that goes, I come here, I head out to that fountain, and I get me a cold drink of water. But you know what happens? When I come back, I need it again. I'm thirsty again. I see people frequent that out there. I see people go out there, I'm glad we got it, aren't you? I mean, aren't you glad we have that which quenches our natural thirst? I'm not saying that that's not important. There is an importance to that, because, we can't live without it. Our bodies need it in order to survive. We've got to have that which hydrates us. We've got to have that water. We've got to drink it in order for our natural lives to continue. But listen, let me tell you something. As I stand before you today, I can testify of this. If I had a natural thirst today, if my lips were parched, if they were dry, if my throat was dry today, if I was actually becoming dehydrated and couldn't find a drink of water anywhere to satisfy my natural thirst, I want you to know today that down in my soul, down in the inward being of me, that there's a well of water, and it just springs up, and it springs up, and it never runs dry. And from the very moment, I know what this Samaritan woman was feeling. I can relate to it. When Jesus told that to her that day, she said, "Sir, give me this water." Because I found myself one time asking for the same thing, making the same request of the Lord. Give me this water. I found myself many times desiring a drink of water to quench my natural thirst. I found myself many times desiring something to eat that would satisfy the natural hunger that I was having. But there in that moment when I came before the Lord, broken, contrite, and ask Him, and I'm not telling you today that I said those words, because I didn't, but that's what I was doing. I was asking the Lord the same thing that this Samaritan woman asked Him. I was asking Him for that living water. I was asking Him for that which I had been told about from the days of my childhood that could satisfy my soul. And so in that moment when God accepted my repentance and God accepted my plea and my cry to Him, He gave me that drink of living water. And I want you to know this today, that from the very moment that He gave me that drink of living water, my soul has never thirsted since. I can tell you that today. There have been times when I've gotten cold. There have been times when I've gotten away from the Lord a lot farther than what I should have. There have been times when I've had to get down and pray and make my way back and ask God to help me to get closer to Him. But that thirst in my soul that I had when I was lost has never returned. Never returned. And that's what the Lord was talking about to this woman. Oh, you drink the water from Jacob's well here. Doesn't make any difference how cold it is. Doesn't make any difference how much of it you consume. I mean, you can drink this water until the well runs dry, but you are going to get thirsty again. Folks, I'm telling you, people, there's many people in the world today that are just fooling themselves and they're just deceiving themselves because they think that everything would be so grand and so great if they could just get a hold of the riches of this world, if they could just get that which, you know, helps them to buy anything they want to buy, to own anything they want to own. But I'll tell you what, folks, listen, if people would be honest with themselves, I mean, if they would be really honest with themselves, and if they would be honest with others, they would be forced to admit that when they have those things, when they have all the money that they wanted to have, they're not satisfied, are they, Brother Strode? You know what they want? They want more. You find out, you go out here and you find rich people and you talk to them, and if they're honest with you, they will tell you, I would like to have more money. It don't even satisfy their flesh completely. I read the newspaper one time in Illinois when I was pastoring there, and this man had, he had won the state lottery. And I mean, he hit the lottery for millions. I can't remember, something like $8 million or something. And they interviewed him. Sure they did. They don't run out and interview the person that just got saved generally, do they? But boy, they interviewed this man that won $8 million. And in the interview, they ask him. It was right there in the newspaper. I read it. I know it's a fact. They asked the reporter that was interviewing him, asking this question, you know, what he was going to do. And among those things that he was going to do, he told them that he was going to try his best to win the lottery again. Those millions of dollars he won, they weren't enough for him. They weren't enough for him. He wasn't even satisfied with that. But boy, let me tell you something. God gave me something one day that satisfied me. It satisfied me when He gave it to me. And I'm still satisfied with it today. A well of water. You know, the Lord just, He doesn't do things in a little way, does He? When He saved us, he gave us that drink of water. It didn't just produce in us a little bitty, you know, He didn't say there'll just be a little bitty drop of water in there. He said there'll be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what happens sometimes? That water in there, that water within us, if you've got any question as to what happens here from time to time, if you've got any question as to what causes people to act up at church a lot of times the way that they do, that well of water in there, boy, it just gets to bubbling. I mean, it gets to springing up, and you know, we've only got a cup that's so big. Our cup will only hold so much of that water, and sometimes it's just like David said, Sometimes that cup just runs over and we've got to do something with it, don't we? We've got to do something with it. I can feel the Lord in me, folks. I can feel God and His Spirit within my soul. There's something down there, you know, I mean, it's present, it's ever present. But sometimes, for some reason that I can't explain, and I don't know why God does it, sometimes, you know, sometimes in the middle of the day, God will bless me in such a way that it almost seems like that He blesses me in spite of myself. God's good. And sometimes, you know, down in my soul, and the only way I know how to describe it is, you know, that which dwells in me just becomes active. Sometimes it just becomes active to the point that it causes me to just lose sight of the things of this world. And listen, my desire today and my prayer today, and I hope that it will be your desire today, if you're here today and you're lost, you need to do exactly what this Samaritan woman did. You need to come to the Lord and you need to ask Him for a drink of living water. You need something, friends, that will last you, not only throughout this life, but you need something that will last you for all of eternity. Listen, no matter how good, no matter how great of care that you give to the outward man, you can drink the things that are good for you. You can keep your body hydrated with water. You can keep your body filled with food. You can exercise your body and try to keep it in good physical condition. But no matter what you do to the natural man, the outward man will continue to perish. Even Jack LaLanne got old, didn't he? He got old. There was a man, I don't know, most of you may remember this in your history. I'm sure you learned it in school. In the 16th century, there was a Spanish explorer. His name was Juan Ponce de Leon. And he had heard about something. It was mythical, of course, and he was looking for it. You know what it was? The Fountain of Youth. He was looking for the Fountain of Youth. All he really ended up accomplishing was he found what we now know as Florida. But he was looking for the Fountain of Youth. You see, there had been this story. It was popular. I mean, a lot of people knew about it, that there was this mystical fountain that you could go and you could drink from this fountain, and boy, you'd just be young forever. But guess what happened to Ponce de Leon? He never found it, and neither did anybody else. I'll tell you what, if you want to drink a water today that will keep you living, you're going to have to come to the Lord's well. You take that drink of living water and you will live forever. And you'll never thirst again and you'll have eternal life. God will save you by His grace and He'll keep you by His power and He'll deliver you into heaven when this life has come to a close. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it perishes day by day. My wife was one of those that raised her hand this morning. She just celebrated another birthday. Y'all want me to tell you how old she got? Well, but I will tell you this. She got older. She didn't get younger. The outward man is perishing day by day. Day by day. You know, listen, if God gives us a tomorrow and you're still living tomorrow, you're not going to be a day younger. You're going to be a day older. You're not going to be a day stronger. you're going to be a day weaker. The outward man is perishing day after day. No matter what we do, no matter how hard we fight, Brother Collins, I'm sure, could tell us that today as well as anybody. No matter how hard we fight, no matter how good medicine gets, no matter how many advancements are made in the medical field, the outward man continues to die, continues to perish from day to day. The inward man that has had the drink of living water just continues to be renewed day after day. Now, what I'm saying to you today, if you're here and you don't know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, what I'm saying to you today as we get ready to have a song is that the Lord Jesus Christ, He has for you a drink of living water. There is a fountain. It's not the fountain of youth that De Leon was looking for, but there is a fountain that never runs dry. And those that come and drink of that fountain, of the water of life, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of what? Of the water of life freely. You can have a drink today that will satisfy your soul and will last you forever, and you'll never get thirsty again. It's there. It's being offered. If you knew the gift of God, Jesus said, and who it was that's talking to you, you would have asked of Him, and He would have given thee a drink of living water. That's what you need today. You need that living water. You need salvation that comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. While we stand and sing, will you come to the fountain? Will you come to the Lord and seek Him today for the salvation of your soul?
197. What can one